earlier in the show, we spoke about presidential candidates launching on-air attack ads, but that's nothing compared with what's happening online. Now, TV spots give candidates a mass market, but digital ads allow them to target voters and, in some cases, poach voters from rivals. They're using Google, Facebook, Twitter, even ads that pop up on a mobile phone. For instance, this week, if you typed rickperry.com into your browser, you ended up at a Ron Paul website. Talk about bait and switch. Here now, media analyst John Carroll is here now. And John, start with that fake Rick Perry website. What happened there? Was Ron Paul behind that?
Ron Paul says that his campaign says he wasn't behind it. Apparently, a Reuters story said it was some supporters of his. But Rick Perry never got around to buying his own domain name. So he's at rickperry.org. Rickperry.com is out there. It's up for grabs. The Reuters piece said that it's for sale for $50,000. Uh-huh. But Perry's not the only one. NewtGingrich.com is up for grabs, too.
Because he doesn't have that?
He hasn't bought it. So you could have it. It makes a great stocking stuffer. I would consider it.
So somebody's obviously used it but converted it to directed people to Ron Paul. And, you know, too bad that person with that Rick Perry, who does own RickPerry.com, didn't do something about that weeks ago. Because Now Rick Perry's probably not going to buy it.
No, I don't think so.
Well, candidates are also trying to poach support from fallen candidates. There was a scramble to grab Herman Cain's support. How did candidates go about that?
Well, Rick Perry had a Facebook ad that essentially appealed to Herman Cain's followers to come over to his camp, and it directed you to a website that compared him with Herman Cain. There are a lot of micro sites out there. There are small sites that are sort of appendages to the overall the main campaign site. So Mitt Romney has a whole bunch of them. Obama isn't working. He's got one called Four More Years, F-O-R-E, and it has a counter keeping tracks of how many rounds of golf Barack Obama has played since he occupied the White House. So that's become popular this time around.
Well, just as we stay with the, trying to get Cain supporters, Newt Gingrich did some of this too. What did he do? What was his technique?
Basically, he bought Herman Cain as a search result. So if you put Herman in Iowa or New Hampshire, if you put Herman Cain into the Googletron, you would get search results, but you'd also get an ad from Newt Gingrich. That's not unusual in the commercial world, but it's a little bit different for the political world.
Well, and Herman Cain used this technique as well when he was trying to control the spin about the allegations of sexual harassment and the affair, the alleged affair that he had with Ginger White. What did he do?
He did the same thing. He bought Ginger White as a search term. So, again, if you plugged it into the Googletron, you would get search results for Ginger White, but you'd also get a message from Herman Cain saying, I've been framed, or whatever his excuse was that day. He also did things with Twitter with what are called promoted tweets, which are, if you search for Herman Cain on Twitter, basically what would happen would be you would get a message from him saying, don't believe what you're hearing. They're at it again.
It's quite something, but we should say they sometimes backfire. And you have an example of banner ads. Give us that.
What happens is, the campaigns follow you around the web. So it's just the way commercial internet marketers do. And so they follow you around the web, and they superimpose banner ads on different sites you go to. So in this case, MoveOn.org had a video about gay marriage, and Mitt Romney banner ad popped up on it. And people are capturing these screen grabs and circulating them on the internet. So they sort of take on an additional life of its own. It's only there for 10 seconds, but it lives on in these screen grabs.
Well, wait a minute. Let's explain what you've just said, because for people who are not searching around on the web, you just have, screen grabs and all this stuff. Mm. So in other words, if you had gone to this site that was very supportive of gay rights, mm-hmm. run by MoveOn.org, but if the Mitt Romney campaign was following you as you went, and they don't know where you're going,
right.
You might go to this and suddenly you'd see something that you'd never see juxtaposed at any other time, which was the appearance of Mitt Romney supporting gay rights.
Well, not supporting, but associated with it. So
yeah.
He wouldn't choose to have his banner ad appear on that on that particular site. But the algorithm puts it where it wants to.
Huh. Michelle Bachmann, talk about her, because she was pretty innovative with ads on cell phones.
Yeah, these are called geo-targeted mobile advertising. And what happens is it is an ad that's beamed to mobile phones within a specific geographic area. So this was at the Minnesota Fair last time she was running for Congress. And within a two-mile radius, people were getting on their mobile phones ads from Michelle Bachmann saying, you're at the Minnesota State Fair. You're about to buy a hot dog. My opponent wants to raise taxes on that hot dog. So it was very timely. It was very targeted, and it's something that we
and probably, very scary.
a little bit. We'll probably see more of it this time around.
Well, you know, we're talking about online, you know, ads, digital ads, and there is one that was online on YouTube, but also it was over the airwaves. But let's just mention it because it's causing so many waves. It's Rick Perry openly criticizing gay soldiers.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian. But you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school.
Now, the Daily Beast writes that Rick Perry's staff is in revolt over this tactic. They don't like it. He's obviously aiming for conservatives. This seems like a demonstration of if you did target this online, you might get less criticism. But if it's on TV, a lot of people are going to see it who won't like it.
Right, and that's the mass media is are what amplify your message, and this is the time of the campaign where they want to amplify their message. They want the big megaphone, but leading up to this, the targeting of the internet is something that that allows you to, number one, be much more discreet about your messages, and number two, measure reliability or the results of your advertising. So if he had kept this one on the web, it might not have hit the radar screen the way it has.
Right, which is with a big splat in many corners. John Carroll again here now as media analyst. So what does all of this mean? Because we're noting that this feels like a different primary season. We spoke to Rick Klein of ABC's in Iowa. He said ads are just starting there. Ads are down in New Hampshire. Is it because as much has shifted in this primary season, candidates are on book tours instead of, you know, knocking door to door? The shift is also to online campaigns?
There's some of that. I mean, some of it is that a whole bunch of the candidates don't have any money, so they can't go up on the airwaves.
Well, I also want you to mention in the seconds we have, they might have learned from Scott Brown in 2010.
Scott Brown in 2010, instead of putting 5%, which is traditionally what people would put into online advertising, he put 10% in. And what he wound up with, it was five times the Facebook fans of his opponent, Massachusetts Attorney General Martha Coakley, three times the Twitter followers, and 11 times the number of YouTube video views.
So he demonstrated that you get exponentially more eyeballs, you know, when you do it.
That might be the new template. We'll see.
John Carroll, again here now as media analyst and mass communication professor at Boston University. We'll link to his blog, Campaign Outsider, at hereandnow.org. John, thanks as always.
Always a pleasure, Robin.